Hey guys, before we get into this live podcast, let me ask you a quick question. How are you listening to this show? You can find it on iTunes, you can find it on the page, you can download them and listen on your iPod, but hey, did you know that you can also listen to them on your phone, just streaming? Yeah, there's an app called Stitcher. Stitcher Smart Radio, on-demand news, talk, and more for your mobile phone. Stitcher brings radio and podcast listeners a better way to listen to their favorite shows and helps them discover new content by delivering personalized audio streams on-demand right to your smartphone. Talk about on-demand personalized audio streams. I've got my own little playlist here on mine. My personalized one has John Toll's 4256 Productions, WTF with Mark Maron, The Nerdist, How Did This Get Made, Fat Man on Batman, Smodcast Hollywood Babylon, Comedy Bang Bang, Doug Loves Movies, The Charlie Hodge Show, Fresh Air, that's an NPR show, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin. I've got tons of things on here. And anyway, our show is on there. How Did I Get Here is on there with over 5,000 other shows. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, any of the pads. Stitcher is also available in some car dashboard systems on GM and Ford. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Now let's get to this live podcast and let's get down. This is good because then we can edit that part out. It'll start when the song really starts.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here are your hosts.
All right, you can clap. Thank you very much. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. We are live at Strange Brew, the best live venue in Austin. It's an award-winning venue, and that's why we're doing this here. I'd like to thank Scott for having us. I'd like to thank Carlo for running sound, Catherine for being the bartender, Kate for staying in, and Jake for helping out with the show. I have a great show for you guys tonight. I have some of Austin's best singer-songwriter ladies that you've ever seen or heard of. I have Trish Murphy, Jazz Mills, Elizabeth McQueen, and Susanna Schaffel. Yeah. First, before we get started, I'm going to tell you what's going on with me. Last night, I got to go see my friend Kyle play with another friend of mine, Bob Schneider. And I really enjoyed their show because it was a lot of people go to these shows when Bob plays at the Paramount or something and has like a string section and maybe a giant rehearse thing. What they did last night was so freeform that they, you know, stopped a song because it wasn't working. And then Kyle even sang a song about alligators. And they told stories about fried chicken, which I really enjoyed. So anyway, I really enjoyed that kind of show. Then today I saw a very well-rehearsed show at the KUTX studios. I saw My Jerusalem, which was a great show. And it was real short, which works for me. It was like only four songs. I was like, it's perfect. And in the middle of the day. So I didn't have to stay up late or inconvenience myself with staying somewhere too long. I have a girlfriend, Zuri, that is making fun of me because I have an escape route for every place I go. As I'm walking in, I turn to her and I say, hey, listen, there's a great way to get out of here in the back, and when I start walking that way, just come with me. And last night, she learned the real reason. As we walked up to the Saxon Pub, we walked into, like, literally the weirdest scene ever. And, like, a very strange, we were just trying to go get a bite to eat before we went to the thing, and we couldn't go. So just so you know, Zuri, it's paranoia. But she got a taste of it and why it's weird, and you got to go from places. I'm glad you guys came out tonight. Normally, I'm doing this show from my apartment, and I don't see an audience. So I see numbers, and occasionally I get emails from people. Occasionally, someone will come up to me and tell me they listen to this show. I've recently gotten some emails. Over the last couple of months, I've gotten two in particular that have told me that I kiss too much ass on my show. And for one, I don't have people that I don't like on my show. And second of all, who the hell's ever going to come on my show if I just yell at you while you come on my show? Don't get me wrong, there have been a couple of guests that I've wanted to reach over and strangle while they were talking, but I didn't do it because I'm not professional, but I'm a good, thank you. Who said that? Thanks. I'm a good guy. That's why I didn't do it. So anyway, I've also gotten some that that wanted to know how the show works because they say I sound confused in my intros. The reason why that is because I do my intros the day before the show comes out. So when I'm saying tonight, and then I get confused and go, well, that'll be last night to you. So normally someone will come to my house, I'll record their interview, and a couple days later I'll put music to it and then do an outro. And then anywhere from 2 weeks to a month later when it comes out is when I do the intro. So sometimes I totally have forgotten what I've talked to with these people about. But I still do it because, again, I'm a nice guy. I was going to use the word professional, but there's really nothing professional about me. Anyway, let's get on with the show. My first guest tonight is her first time on the show. And she's my bandmate, has been for now almost 10 years. We're in the band Skyrocket together, and she's a solo artist. You might know her from her television commercials in the morning for Henna Chevrolet, which ran for a long time. My first guest, Miss Trish Murphy.
It all started with a shotgun back in 1973 when my daddy got a brand new 12 gauge and gave his old one to my brother.
So, how are you?
Johnny, I'm so good. Thanks. I'm good.
You're good. You're glad to be here?
Yeah, I have had this sort of fantasy about always being on a, you know, talk show. That's been kind of this thing. You sit home and you watch Johnny Carson and whatever it is you watch now, like Jimmy Fallon, and
yeah,
they come out and they've got these cute outfits on and they look so carefree.
You did wear a cute outfit.
Well, you know, I have open-toed shoes on, which is amazing because if I were playing guitar tonight, I would have like safety boots on. Steel-toe boots, you know, because you're going to, like, kill yourself.
I watch you do a lot of stuff and dance in heels a lot, and I wonder, we've had this conversation, how do you do it? Because sometimes I have to wear tennis shoes, because even if I'm wearing just shoes like this, it's hard for me to jump up and down and do this whole thing.
Well, you know, it's like,
by the way, our band isn't just always jumping up and down.
It's
sorry.
Like it was. Ann Richards always said, you know, well, a woman can do everything a man can do, only she does it backwards and in high heels.
That's right.
And
that
so
is right.
I've sort of learned that that can really be the case. And you know, you get used to it, but there's lots of stuff to trip over. All these cables, the minute you plant a small stiletto heel on there, you're going to go rolling. So, you know, when they have those YouTube videos of Beyonce falling during a performance or during a rehearsal, she probably falls about 15,000 times. It's a miracle she hadn't broken a hip.
That's true.
So, you know, yeah, you get used to it, though. You have to practice.
I recently fell on stage. A few months ago, I fell on stage and broke
a
thumb.
Yeah.
I was with you.
But you were trying to get back on, so you were coming on. You didn't fall off. You were trying to get back on.
Yeah. My pants were too tight, is what she's trying not to say. And when I went to go jump on stage, the pants restricted my leg spread, my splits. They were not the kind of pants I needed to be
your
wearing.
Crowd surfing moment. He has this amazing moment in the show where it's like the parting of the Red Sea, where he goes out into the audience and the music kind of goes real low and it's this thunking and clapping, and then it erupts, and then he has to sort of skitter back to the stage quickly before he gets hurt.
God forbid my pants are too tight and then I fall down.
It happens.
So that song that came up about your dad giving you a shotgun. 12 gauge?
Yeah, the trouble with trouble.
Yeah, tell me, yeah. Did that happen?
No.
Oh.
No.
Because I know your dad, and I was just like, wow, that's really weird.
Well, my dad, I did have the kind of parent that probably would have allowed us to play with guns or something equally irresponsible. But he also said,
he did. He gave you guitars.
He did.
That's equally as irresponsible.
And my grandmother was horrified. She's like, Daryl? She'd talk like, don't, those babies are too close to the water. And he'd say, nothing's going to happen to them kids. So that was kind of the environment we grew up in. But no, there were no guns involved. I made it all up. I was just reading Dear Abby one morning in the newspaper. And underneath all the, you know, advice, there's always a quote of the day in the Ann Landers column or whatever it is. And it was, the trouble with trouble starts out as fun. Now you see it on cocktail napkins and stuff. Everybody thinks maybe a few people think I came up with that, but I
thought
not.
You did.
No, isn't it great, though?
Yeah.
No,
it
was like a country song waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So I've made it happen, and I figure, well, we'll just make some stuff up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We did weird things like the shotgun part and the doing the donuts in the parking lot. I grew up in a lot of small petrocentric sort of towns. My dad worked construction, and he built oil refineries for all these different construction companies. So we lived in Baytown, Texas for a while, which is kind of the armpit of the Houston area, down by the Ship Channel. And then we lived up in Amarillo, Texas for a while, where it would actually snow. My dad worked an hour away in Borger. So kids really would do those donuts in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
They would go through the, and, you know, if there was a big parking lot with snow in it, everybody would just start to take their trucks and, you know, do donuts. That's kind of a really popular thing to do in a dead small town like Amarillo, but which is now quite a booming metropolis, I understand. But so, yeah, the stories from that song were just sort of huge, tall tale extrapolations that were taken from things that probably really did happen in those little towns where I lived.
Yeah.
We had a German Shepherd that we used to harness to a big wheel. And, you know, you'd get on the big wheel and then you'd yell his name
mush.
And you'd clap your hands and you'd mush and then you'd be on the big wheel. It was great. So, you know, I've just figured if I could stretch those stories, then I could make it into a song that was, you know, could hold your interest for 3 minutes.
So for those of you that don't know, we're in a band together called Skyrocket, and Trisha's brother Darren is in the band, and he's your not much younger brother.
That's right. 10 months younger.
10 months younger. Mm-hmm. And you guys had a band called Trish and Darren in Houston that I used to go see when I lived there in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, that's when we met each other.
Yeah. And but you guys started out playing with your dad because your dad played. He didn't just work construction. He also wrote songs and played music and this kind of thing.
That is true. He was kind of a hopeful. In the 70s, there was a big kind of an exciting singer-songwriter scene in Houston. And my dad had a songwriting partner. He was a real big part of that. And we were maybe 4 and 5 years old at the time. And so we kind of learned to sing then. And then he had just a whole interesting stable of friends, and one of them, in fact, was a very popular disc jockey on the KILT station in Houston.
Yeah.
And he actually gave us our very first gig ever when Darren and I were like 4 or 5 years old. And Carly,
and
do you have that? Do you want to roll it? Do y'all want to hear?
Do you guys want to hear this?
Okay. This explains a lot about
awesome.
Me, actually, because my mother is having to yell at me to even get me to participate because I was stamping my feet and refusing to do it. But take a listen.
Darren is going to sing it regardless. So you may as well sing
Gina,
it.
Gina, get over here just for a second and sing it in there and let me hear how it's going to sound, okay?
Michael, K-I-L-T.
Okay, now you and Darren together come here and sing it.
Michael, K-I-L-T.
Okay, try it again.
Michael, K-I-L-T.
All right, now, Trish, give it a try. Okay, all right, you push the button.
That is
Michael, K-I-L-T.
Stand back a little bit for it, Darren. Darren, care a minute.
What a nightmare.
Now, you stand back a little bit and sing it from right there.
Michael.
No, I mean stand away. Stand further away. Yeah, right there where you are. And sing it like that. And let's do it on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Michael, K-I-L-T.
How about this? Let's see. Sing more music, K-I-L-T. Sing that for me.
More music, K-I-L-T.
Sis, come
here
and give
me a hand.
Oh, nothing happens when you press that. No, it won't be anything yet. I haven't got
this one?
No. Yeah, you can press that if you want.
Michael, K-I-L-T.
That is awesome.
That's me crying.
At oh,
the
yeah, we missed
no,
the cry.
Good.
Sorry.
That's plenty. That's
so, do you remember that?
I do remember it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So how was it? Did you ask to learn or ask for a guitar, or did he go like, hey, you're okay, do this?
I was really infatuated with the piano as a kid, and a lot of my friends at school took piano lessons, but we didn't really have anything like that. But eventually we got one of those like Magnus chord organs that
right.
my grandmother had. It was this weird thing that had all these keypads on it. And she didn't want it anymore, so she gave it to us. And I used to shut myself in my room. My mom bought me a couple of songbooks, like Simon and Garfunkel, you know, Carole King songbooks. And I would dedicate my time to learning how to play those songs on this weird little organ. So eventually, we I guess we moved a lot, so we had to sort of get rid of that thing. And there was one summer where I was just kind of bored. We had moved. We were in an apartment, and we didn't have anything to do. And I one day just, Dad had some guitars laying around. I said, Dad, why don't you just teach me to play one of those? And so he said, well, let me show you some chords. And he said, once you've got these basic chords, once you have these notes in your head, you can sing a million different tunes by mixing it up like this. And so he would just give me records to listen to and give me some basic three-chord songs. And that's how he would teach me, because he knew that I already knew how to sing,
right,
and that I had some familiarity. So he said, learn these chords and then go see how many songs you know that you can play. And so that's what I did. We had John Prine records and Bob Dylan records and lots of three-chord song records. And so I would play along to those records, Eagles records, and that's how I learned to play.
That's awesome. You know, it comes out in your music that's your roots. You know what I mean? In your songs.
Yeah. When Darren and I kind of went our separate ways, we both had sort of been infatuated with different styles as younger kids. And when I was faced with the specter of writing songs as a solo artist, I was convinced there was no way I could do it. I was like, I can't do this. I can't. I'm not. This isn't going to work. But what's fascinating to me is that what sort of came rushing back was all of those earlier influences for me, which were kind of the three chord songs, and then just Emmylou Harris and some of the things that she and John Prine did. I felt really drawn to that as a kid, and there was kind of a style that went with it. There was a lifestyle that I ascribed to it. I had this whole fantasy in my head about what it would be like to be John Prine or to be Emmylou Harris. And so those things left a big impression on me. And when I started writing songs, those things came back in a really primitive way. And the influence sort of, you know, showed up.
That's great.
It surprised me a lot.
Have you been writing much since we've been doing Skyrocket? I haven't written many songs lately.
You know, I'll go in and out of it, but I kind of feel like Donovan right now. You know how he didn't put any records out for like 13 years because he said he didn't have anything to say? I don't know if it's that I don't. I love to talk. I could just sit here and talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got plenty to say.
Yeah.
But there is a certain reticence. And when I was listening to that little recording with my mom, you know, trying to shake it out of me to sing, there is sometimes a part of me that goes inward and sort of refuses to show up. I could sort of give myself a million different reasons why there's somebody that can say that better than me, or I don't know. So
it's tough because there is a lot of music out there. I don't know if any of you that don't write songs realize that, like, every time you come up with an idea for a song or a chord structure or melody, there's like 12 notes that everybody uses, the same notes.
Yeah.
And there's only so many concepts.
Well, and all the songs kind of sound like Cheers now. It's like, go,
oh,
go,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go me, you know.
I thought you meant like the Cheers theme song.
No, like cheer, like a cheer. Remember, like 1, 2, 3,
yeah, yeah,
4, 5,
yeah.
We don't take no job.
Yeah.
Now it's like, get you up in my truck, and Cal, we're the girls, we're
reliable. I heard that one the other day.
Put your hands up, you know.
Yeah.
Represent. Everybody's got their own personal hip-hop song, Cheer. And that's what a lot of pop music sounds like to me right now. It won't always be that way, though. It'll change soon.
Yeah, it always does. Yeah. It's changed a lot even since we've been in Skyrocket.
That's true.
And I was just thinking through all this stuff. Like, we've been in this band now for a few years. There's been divorce, marriages, family deaths. Mm-hmm. We're like a real band now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, we're crossing the line between band and family in a way that's a little icky.
No, it's good, though. It's good, though. I think that we keep a healthy distance as people to stay together. Because I think if we were all in each other's business all the time, it wouldn't work.
Well, if we were a lot younger, we probably would be more enmeshed. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. We came by the time we became a band, we had all lived several lives individually through solo careers, other bands. So by the time Skyrocket came along, all of us had that pretty well under our belts.
Yeah.
And it was a band that had a very lighthearted touch and
to it. It's a good time.
It is a good time.
Yeah, we have a good time. And if you live in New York, we will be there tomorrow, Saturday, June 7th, 2014, at the Hill Country Barbecue in New York City.
Again.
Yes,
again.
We love playing there.
I love it. It's weird, isn't it, how New York is like another little tiny Austin.
Yeah, that's what ends up happening is we played in a place that has a giant Texas flag behind us in the middle of New York City. It's so weird when you go there.
But it's also uncanny because it's a gigantic place with millions of people, and I can't think of a single time that I've gone there that I haven't completely at random
run into
somebody
that we
I know.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a lot of people. You know, I know.
You know a lot of people.
Yeah, but that...
You knew
me,
Carlo.
Hey.
You guys met
yeah.
the sound gentleman, Carlo.
Yeah, I've not
Let's give it up for him tonight.
I've not seen you in 10 years. That's crazy. Yeah. I was in Italy last time I saw you. Can't believe it. So yeah, full circle.
Yeah, full circle. All right, I'm going to bring up our next guest. Thank you, Trish. You can scoot down one.
Yeah.
And
don't
next
we go to
up.
A commercial break before I.
No,
scoot
there's that's the one thing about this. There's no commercial breaks. I wish there was.
Nobody's supposed to see me give up my hot.
Your throne.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You might know her from Cowboy and Indian, Leopold and His Fiction, her own solo career. I've seen her quiet a room, the ND, in fact, with just singing. The entire place got completely silent. And today is her birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jazz Mills. All right. While this music plays, I'm going to hand you some gifts. First of all, I think you should wear this. Well, that's a gift. That's a ribbon. It's like you want to. Who says that? Who says this is our only gift?
You just wanted me to wear that ribbon.
I did. I wanted. No, I wasn't going to make fun of you. It's your birthday. Do you guys know Jazz? It is her birthday. Can I ask you a question you're not supposed to ask, ladies?
I'm 28.
Okay. Are you happy being 28?
Yes.
And your day was spent without Ava, your daughter,
yes.
The most photographed child in all of Instagram. Does anyone follow her on Instagram?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an insult. I'm just saying what it is.
Well, I mean, sorry, I don't know how to put on hats.
Oh, I also got you a card.
Oh, can I read it?
Yeah, there's no money in it, so be like.
I still put the song wrong. I know. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Read it out loud.
Okay.
That
rock,
way the,
rock
yeah.
and roll bands for folks your age. The Grateful Dead, We're Not Dead. Earth, Wind, and Fiber. Fleetwood Crack. The Boobie Brothers. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Not So Young. Happy birthday. I love you, Jeff.
Do you get it?
Yes, I do. I love you,
okay.
too.
Johnny, I saw that card at the car wash today.
You did?
I did.
I wish I would have bought it
I
at the car wash.
I can't believe it. I'm freaking out.
Can't, okay.
Yes, you totally can. You might want to bring your microphone
Otherwise,
closer to you.
Otherwise, I'm going to focus on the way it's weirdly pinching my cheek the whole time I talk.
How are you? I've not seen you in a long time.
I'm great.
Until tonight.
I've been busy.
Yeah? What have you been busy doing?
I have been recording again.
Yes?
And I'm excited to be recording. And I started managing a band called Mangum Parker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I do that. I do that now. And it's been trippy for me because it's weird to now be on a whole nother side of the industry, you know, and be worrying about those things that my manager worries about because I'm trying to help somebody move forward and I want to make sure that people hear his music and experience it and remember it and love him, and that's my job. So it's been really fun. I'm really grateful, and I'm really, like, honestly so surprised that I got the job.
He asked you to do it?
No. He asked me to find somebody else to do it. And, like, I was sitting at home thinking, like, oh, I want to be at home with Ava. I want to stay at home with her. But, like, obviously I have to, me just spending time with Ava, I don't get paid for that. So I have to figure out some way to support my life. And I knew that I didn't want to, like, hustle my own music.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. And so I was like, I'm going to have to get a job. That's just the reality of it. And I was so bummed, and I was trying not to be a brat about it, but I was like, I really don't want to get a job. I want to stay at home with Ava. And then he sent me an email and said, hey, I'm looking for someone who can kind of keep me organized and help me have presence, because I don't really feel like putting myself out there. And Sherry said you would help me find somebody. And I emailed him back and was like, I'll do it. And was like, we'll just meet up and I'll tell you my ideas. And if you don't like them, I'll find you a manager. And if you do like them, then we'll go from there. And he liked my ideas.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And what's he called again?
Mangum Parker.
Mangum Parker, that's his name? It almost sounds like a band name, Mangum.
Well, it is a band.
Okay.
But that's also his name.
Okay. And what kind of music is it?
It's very, like, epic. Like, everything is very orchestral and kind of droney, and and they're very long, and tons of dynamic. Like, it'll break down to where he's just singing, and then all of a sudden it swells up, and there's horns and whatever. It's really inspiring music to hear, honestly, because it's... For me, I experience life in a really cinematic way. Everything is a movie to me all the time, and everybody's very interesting, and I'm always, like, really curious about, like, why that specific person's in my life at that moment, and I always try and think of, like, what song should be happening right now? And, like, and when I watch, like...
You, like, music supervise your own life?
Yeah. I do. I do. Anytime that I'm in a room with people, like right now, if a song randomly came on, it would become the theme of what we're all doing in my head. Like, I'd be like, no way. That's crazy that they're playing this song. What does that mean? And it's so, but when you watch movies like Braveheart or Last of the Mohicans or movies that have really epic cinematic music, I always wonder, like, who comes up with that shit? And now I manage someone who makes music like that.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And so what's going on with your music then?
I'm just recording.
Oh. With you? Where? What's going on?
With anybody. I'm doing some more solo stuff with my producer Dave in LA, who I love very much. And then I've recorded a duet with Corey Baum.
Yes. Love Corey Baum.
Yay. And then I just did a duet with Jonathan Terrell of Not in the Face.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
You introduced me to him.
I did?
Mm-hmm. One night we went to Clive Bar.
Yeah. Oh,
and he played.
That was the first night I had ever heard him sing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I met him that night.
Really?
I met him and then introduced him to you. But yeah, I just did stuff with him, and... I recorded some stuff with my friend Stephanie and with this girl Rachel, who's in this band out of LA called He's My Brother, She's My Sister. And I feel like my solo career, or the only way that I could conceptualize pursuing my solo career, is just to record with everybody else. You know, I don't have to put too
much, like that.
I don't need to put so much pressure on, like, being an original. You know, I'm coming out with my stuff, and here's my new stuff, and here's this one song I wrote, and whatever. Because to me, that's really, I get exhausted with that. And I don't.
It's not fun sometimes.
And I don't have anything to prove. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't bother me if people don't like my voice, you know, or, like, don't want to hear me sing or whatever. And so I feel like it's good. The best press that I get is just by I say yes to everything. I record with anybody who asks me to.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think you're a collaborator.
Yeah.
You don't need the whole thing, the enchilada, to use a word that
enchiladas.
You like to use. Yeah. There have been many times that we've texted each other at night these things, like Jazz will send me something that says, I wish there was a city made of enchiladas.
It's true.
It's
I'm
true.
I'm a ridiculous late night texter.
Those are very funny. Is there anything else how's Ava doing?
Ava's great. Ava's huge. She's 2.5, and she's about this tall, so she's pretty tall for her age, and I'm pretty short for my age, so it makes that difficult when we're trying to do activities in public, because she is she's heavy. She's over half my height.
Yeah.
And I think that I can tell that other parents that have children think that I'm the weird parent that, like, won't stop babying my baby because they don't realize that she's 2.5. They all think she's, like, 7.
No, yeah.
And they're all, like, they all look at me like, ugh, that lady carrying her kid still. And I'm like, I have to.
She's an amazing child, but when she first meets you, there is like this stone face that she has of just like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so, yeah, definitely like yeah, that's you and Daniel's kid.
Yeah.
Because you guys both have that serious look on your faces.
Yeah. Well,
even
I
though
think
you are the nicest person
we're
ever.
Like, I guess we're this weird breed of like Terminator people who like I walk in the room and I'm immediately like scanning the room, like the like the people that are in the room and like, oh, I know them and weird, I think I met that person and I'll have to figure that out later, and I'm kind of like logging in all this information of like who do I need to go meet all these people, I've already met them, I'm blah 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 blah, and I don't realize at all what I look like. You know, I'm just in my head, I'm just like I am just observing and scanning and storing information. And Ava does that too. And so people are like, Jesus.
Why is your kid giving me the face?
Yeah. And I'm like, she's super nice. Like, she just hang in there with her. And people really do take it really personally.
Yeah.
When Ava doesn't immediately love them, which I think is weird because you don't do that to anybody else in your life. You don't go up to someone and you're like, what, you don't like love me already? Like, and people do that to Ava. They get super bummed out and sometimes even like a little bit like frustrated with her.
Yeah.
Like they're like, I love you so much. You don't get it. Like I like love you. I love your mother. And she's just like, hey, cool. Well,
yeah.
She makes people, she can be really intimidating.
Yeah, she can be. Have you ever been intimidated by a 2.5-year-old?
I have.
Yeah, I have.
She wins arguments sometimes. Like, she'll come at me with, like, even if my answer is, like, even if my point is valid. I have to do this to myself because I'm like, holy shit, she's right. But, like, I'll have, like, thinking clearly. I'm trying to talk to Ava and explain something to her about why we're not going to do it this way and blah, blah, blah. And she'll come at me with her, like, stare and her thing. And I'll be like, fine. You win. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Motherhood. It's a great thing, right? Yeah?
Yeah, it's the best thing.
Yeah?
Or it can be the best thing. I've realized becoming a mother that, like, I personally think is the best thing. I've met other mothers who, like, honestly don't feel that way.
I've met a couple mothers
that
don't feel
that way. You know,
they
love their children. Like, they, like, love them, but they're just right. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
So I think that, and I actually think that's good education, I think, for women. Like, I think a lot of women think that, you know, I was telling someone the other day that, like, a lot of people assume that my life is all, like 100% good times, and we just, like, run through fields and swim and paint and, like, eat tacos.
I mean,
and
it looks like that on Instagram.
Because,
I'm not going to lie to you.
Because that's what I share. That's what I share with the world. I'm like, we're having
you don't share your spanking.
You know, like, we're having a taco, and it's sunny. And, like, that's what I'm sharing because those are beautiful moments that actually occur with my daughter. But, you know, I don't snap photos and show somebody, you know, her meltdown because she asked me for a pickle. And I'm like, cool, you can have one. Sure, I'll go get it. And she's like, wah! And I'm like, but I said yes. Like, I don't understand. I'm going to do it. I'm doing what you said. And, like, it's really, really hard, you know. And, like, I posted a picture the other day that was so amazing that Ava, I gave her like 12, because I'm stupid, I gave her like 12 little jars of paint. And because I needed a break, so I was like, here, go outside and just do whatever you want with this paint. So she did, what she was doing was just pouring the entirety of the jar down her arm. Like, it was really weird. Like, she just poured every jar down her arm. And so it made this really crazy, like, a bunch of paint, too. Like, a huge, she was standing in this puddle of, like, paint, and her whole arm is just covered in all this paint. And I immediately take a picture of it because it looks insane. It looks like a pipe, you know? That's what it was doing. So I take a picture of it, and I was like, this is amazing, and I'm, you know, so stoked that you're, you know, using your imagination and doing whatever you're doing to your hand. And, like, and so I post a picture, and that... it does show everybody that you get to do this fun stuff with your kid and that it's beautiful
right.
and inspiring and all that stuff. But it doesn't show that how long it took me to clean that up and how long and like you know like and how long it took to give her a bath.
Yeah, because those Instagram films are just 15
when
seconds.
I took the pain away. Yeah. You know, like those. That's actually motherhood. That's the majority of it. Is like now and you know and then, all, you know. Anyway, so I think some women feel like because we are the gender that can give birth, and it is a miraculous, amazing privilege, that women feel guilty if they don't want to do it. They feel like some pressure to do it,
right.
you know? And I think that's silly. Like, you should only be a mother if you want to be a mother, not because you're getting, you think you're getting too old or, like, you should because you'll regret it. It's like, because it's as beautiful and rewarding as it is, it's the hardest thing you could ever do.
Yeah,
so
I can
it's
imagine.
Not something you should just, like, I guess I'll have a kid now.
That's
you know?
What, yeah. It feels like that's what people do sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, my God, this
what
is crazy.
What am I doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts. Speaking of mothers, that's a good way to get into our next guest, who's also a mother. Ladies and gentlemen, you know her from Asleep at the Wheel. She has a new album out called The Laziest Remix, and she collaborated with the Brothers Lazaroff from St. Louis for that album. Yeah. Will you please welcome Elizabeth McQueen?
I feel like the getting into the seat near you, Johnny, it was a whole thing.
What was it?
For me. I felt
yeah, that
like
was
maybe
so weird
there was
that
a
you
different
chose
approach.
The most awkward way to come up to the stage.
I know. I could probably have gone around back.
Yeah, or you could have gone in the front and just walked right up. But hey, that's okay. This is like, you know what? This is Susanna Schaffel is going to have to up you on this.
Learn from my lessons. And you know what the worst thing is? Like, I can never get it back. You know, you can never get the first approach back.
No.
Oh, well.
No, you
oh,
can't.
Well, it's okay.
So, Elizabeth, this last New Year's was the end of your tenure with the Asleep at the Wheel.
It was. December 31st was my last day.
Your last day.
After 8.5 years with Asleep at the Wheel, which is crazy because I thought that when I joined that band, I was like, if I can make it through 6 months without getting fired, that'll be great. Because I thought, like, I didn't think that I was... could survive in a band like that with those kind of players.
Yeah, but it turns out that you could for 8.5 years.
That was great.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this. Now that you're home, like before you guys traveled with your kids.
Yes.
They took it. Explain how you did it.
Well,
because you've had to explain it like 4 times on this show already, but do it anyway so these people know how you used to live.
So when we had our first baby about 5 years ago, we bought a converted Sprinter van because it had a bed in it and a bathroom and some chairs and it was tall enough to walk in. It had a little kitchen.
Right.
And so we traveled as a family separately from the bus. So the bus would take the rest of the band off and we would like drive ahead of them or behind them or whatever to get to the next gig. And we took our kids with us and then we did that with one kid and then we did it with two. And now we don't do it anymore. We're actually selling the baby bus, which is crazy.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Selling the Sprinter?
We're selling the Sprinter. If any of you people out there in podcast land
would
like to buy a 2003 Gulfstream converted Sprinter van, it's pretty great. It's
do you love it?
No.
I loved it for a long time.
Dude, I was in that thing one time. Dude. I got in that with your
husband.
Yeah,
yeah. You did one of those corporate gigs with him.
Yeah, but I just rode back from a rehearsal with him.
Oh, okay,
but
yeah.
There was so much, like, cereal and, like, little kid
yeah.
food,
oh, my
like,
God.
In
yeah.
the seats.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
It was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, well, because they would sit there for, like, sometimes 500 miles a day sitting in their car seats, although, like, I can say this now, we took them out of their car seats a lot and had them in the back. I mean, there was just food everywhere because we were just... Like, what else do you do when you're driving? You watch TV and you eat food. And that holds for adults and children.
So how is it being home?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wasn't sure that I would either. Like, because I've been on the road for so long. And I hadn't really been in Austin for very much time, you know, like, great lengths of time that I just didn't know how it would be. But I forgot that I love Austin. Like, Austin is, like... an awesome city. And I know it's changed a lot since I mean, you grew up here.
Like, I mean, you're comparing it to riding around in a van with like your family, and, like living in a van.
It's like way better than the Holiday Inn Express in Boise. No, it's awesome. I love it. And single parenting, strangely, is not as hard as you would think. Like, because Dave is still in the band.
Oh, God, because I was going to say, wow, this is a weird way to announce something weird like that. But thank you. Scoop on my show.
Yeah, no. Well, Dave's in the band. So that was my biggest thing, was like, what am I going to do when Dave leaves and it's just me and the kids? Like, how's that going to go? And how am I going to keep the house clean? Like, it's going to be impossible. But I strangely love solo parenting.
Solo parenting.
I would say it's pretty awesome, because you're the only one who makes the rules.
Yeah.
You don't have to go up against your partner. Like.
So what happens when he comes back, though? Mayhem?
I get really frustrated with him.
Oh, because you're like, no.
No, I'm like, no, that's not how we do it. Like, this is how we do it. No. He's like an impediment to my forward movement. I think I've found out about myself that I'm just like very much like, okay, then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and come on, let's go, and come on, let's go. And he is not that kind of guy. So he gets home, and he's like, let's hang out. And I'm like, what do you mean?
We got to go.
We got to get to the gym.
Yeah. You go to the gym a lot?
I do. Now that I'm a lady of leisure living in Austin, Texas, I go to the gym a lot.
Feeling strong. What do you do at the gym? Do you do? Do you lift? Do you pump iron? Is that what's going on?
I pump a little iron. I just joined the Y actually, so now I'm going to do a lot more swimming with my kids and without. That's going to be very exciting.
You can also find people that live there, according to the song.
Oh, and it's fun to stay there. Apparently, what's that?
Why is that? Can anyone answer? Okay. Okay, so nonprofits. Okay.
I always imagine that people actually like could come and live at the gym. Really? Okay, it seemed like a good deal. Like you can stay there, and then you can go swimming.
They wrote a whole song about it.
Yeah, there's a whole song.
I mean, like back in the day, could you go? I always thought that you would go like I need a place to stay. Where's the local YMCA? How much does it cost to stay here? $10? I don't know.
I had a friend who lived there while he was going to Juilliard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lived at the Y.
Was it in the gym?
That's like a halfway house vibe.
No, I don't think they had cots in the wood floor at the gym, no, but they had like dorms, some kind of a dorm.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah.
Do you think that there's one of those in Austin? Does anyone know?
I mean, you joined it.
I guess I could
ask him where the bunkers are. Yeah.
If there's not one yet, there will be.
There will be.
But only men can stay there, right?
Because
there's the YWCA.
I'm looking at Jazz.
Does anyone know?
In the song, you can hang out with lots of boys.
Yeah, because it's a man's only kind of deal, I think.
Did it also double as a gay bathhouse?
Probably.
Okay.
And definitely there's like a construction worker.
A policeman. You blew my mind. I can't even think anymore. Last time I saw you was your record release.
Yes.
You had a lot of special guests. Jazz was one of them.
Yes, she was. It was really fun.
That was a great show. And so what's going on now?
Well, I did this record, The Laziest Remix, with the Brothers Lazaroff from St. Louis. And so they came down here and did that show, and then I went there and did a show, and I'm actually going to go back in July and do a show with them, opening for Dark Star Orchestra.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is pretty
awesome.
It's
like Grateful Dead guys, right?
Yeah, totally. Who? Well, they're like the Grateful Dead cover experience. Like they do entire shows.
But isn't like a Grateful Dead guy in the band, like the bass player?
That's highly possible.
I'm thinking of Iron Maiden.
I don't know.
The drummer from Iron Maiden, when Iron Maiden is not on tour, is in an Iron Maiden tribute band.
Really?
Yeah, Nico McBrain, genius. That's band dedication. Like he's like, I can't get enough of this shit.
Or maybe he's just like, you know what? When I'm off work, I just want to be able to phone it in for my other job. Like,
Have you ever seen that guy? That guy does not phone in anything. He's crazy, and he's like 65 now.
You think that still, after playing the same songs for so long, the guy's not sitting there going I just think I gotta get eggs, bread.
It would be weird to play to 250,000 people at Rock in Rio and then go play some weird pub with dudes playing your band's songs like the next week. To me, that just seems really unhealthy.
That would be, I mean, you would think he would want to do something like, the exact opposite, like classic country or something.
Yeah,
like, I'm tired of bashing it out.
Is Dave playing with Ray's other new band?
With Milk Drive?
Yes.
He is.
How's that? What is Milk Drive? Not Western Swing?
So Milk Drive is like, Milk Drive is a band unto itself, and they're, Dennis Ludeker and some other guys play like really hot bluegrass, like super fast.
Okay, so it's still in that. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of cool stuff. And so
they
play.
That stuff's
hard. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I couldn't play it. Yeah. I like to watch people play that stuff, though, because it's like magic.
It is like magic. Did you get into the Black Fret?
I did. I'm a Black Fret nominee.
You are?
I am.
What goes on with that? What, I mean, I know they were on my show and they explained it all to me. That was a couple months ago.
So Black Fret is an organization. It's a couple guys, Colin Kendrick and Matt Ott. And they had this idea. They thought a lot of arts organizations like the ballet and the opera have patrons, people who, you know, pay money to be associated with and support the institution. So, like, why not live music? Why not have a patronage system for live music? And so they're recruiting members.
Right.
And the members pay a fee, and then they get to do all these cool house concerts and get to see a lot of music at, like, times. And the members are usually people who are older, who have families, who maybe don't live, like, directly in Austin, and who don't want to go see a band at midnight.
Right.
So they have these shows where people can come in and see band, like, the shows start at 6, and they'll go to, like, they'll go to 2 in the morning, but the music will be like 6 to 10, which is very reasonable if you have kids and a job and all that kind of stuff. So they do that. So they bring the music to these people, and then they also have nominated 20 different artists, Austin artists, and then the members get to choose 10 of those artists to get, each of them will get a $10,000 grant to go towards supporting their endeavors.
Right, they can use it for tour support, they can use it for all kinds of things.
For recording, yeah. It's not like live-in money. Like, they don't hand you $10,000.
No,
like,
you got to go. You got to go in and tell them we're going to do this, and they give you the money to do it. And then do you have to prove you did it?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, okay. It would be easy to prove that you did. That these days, you just, you know, you could videotape yourself doing everything.
Right. Here's me buying a van for tour support.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the receipt.
Do you have any shows coming up? That
I do. I do. Yep. I'm playing. So now that. Well, Brothers Lazarov live in St. Louis, so it's hard to play shows
say something?
With them.
The yes. Brothers Lazarov sound like a Russian acrobatic group and not a soul group from St. Louis.
Yeah, there.
Doesn't it? It sounds like a, like. Yeah. And now like you, the Brothers Lazarov. Like,
and now the Brothers Karamazov.
Flying Brothers
yes,
Lazarov.
Yeah, I had never thought of it that way, but I can see that. I don't know. I've known those guys so long that they're family. They'll always just be Brothers Lazarov. But they play, they live in St. Louis, and there's 5 of them, and it's really hard to play gigs together. So I've started a couple different bands. I've started a jazz trio, like aptly named the Elizabeth McQueen Jazz Trio. And
then you really worked hard on that name for a while, didn't you?
I did. You know, well, I mean, it, you know, you can, there's a long history of jazz groups just having that. And then I have a electro, the same people who are in the jazz trio, which is Lauren Grigiolo from Aukerville River.
Yes.
And Lindsey Green.
I love Lindsey.
Who is amazing. I love him. Both of them I've known for like a decade. They're just
my
family.
He also plays with Paula Nelson?
He still does play with Paula Nelson sometimes. And he makes amps, and he made both Lauren and my amps.
No way.
Yeah, so we play Lindsey Green amps on stage. So we play jazz. And then we also have a band called EMQ, where Lindsey plays Moog bass and microkorg, and Lauren breaks out her massive
she's like
pedal
a,
board and does like all this crazy ambient, like blow your mind guitar stuff. And then I play archtop, and we play some kind of like electro dance inspired. Oh, and we have an MPC 1000 drum machine.
That's good.
Yeah, which we call Little Dave Sanger.
So is the MCQ. EMQ.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't spell.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's not really a word.
I'm not professional or a speller. What was I even going to say? Is that? Are you doing that kind of like keeping it bare bones a little bit so you can make some bread?
Well, I think...
Because that's the main question out there is like we keep on doing all this stuff and we keep on making records, but it's hard to turn it into... A,
that was definitely the idea behind the trio.
Yeah.
And the drum machine. You know what I mean? It's like, keep it small, keep it the same people. But it's like a two-stream approach. One stream is like the jazz thing is for like playing jazz clubs and private parties and stuff like that. And then there's the art stream, which is for, I applied for a grant from the city of Austin.
Oh, yeah?
Because I want to build a giant holographic, pseudo-holographic box that people can walk into and control music and visuals with their movement.
And you don't smoke weed all day?
No, I don't. But I feel like this is like a, I feel like this, there's a lot of people doing stuff connecting. There's a lot of ways technologically now, like programs and ways to connect like music and movement and video and MIDI, and people are figuring out ways to put this all together. And I met a guy randomly over South By who that's kind of his thing, and so we're going to work together. He has a little hollow box. Like I'll show you the video. It's really awesome. Like he has this little holographic box. It's not really a hologram, but it looks like a hologram, and it's really cool. And you can control the image in it with your finger. And so when I saw that, I was like, dude, we just need to build like a life-size one, right? That people can walk in. And he was like, absolutely. So we just applied for a grant for that. I'm super excited about it. And I just saw on the internet, like at
like
midnight.
Like a weird science nerd.
Like, yeah, like at midnight, I saw a thing where this guy connected like an Xbox Kinect to Ableton. Because that's how you do this stuff. Like you get these Xbox Kinects and you can reprogram them to do all the kind of stuff. And so this, and you can connect it to Ableton so that you can like make sound with your body motion. Like you can go like,
oh, so like basically like a theremin technology.
Yeah, but there's no like, there's not a theremin there.
No,
there's
but
just
something's
air.
Gotta be able to acknowledge that
you're moving something. Yeah, it's the Xbox, but you can like do all kinds of crazy. You can trigger Ableton. It's just like, it's, so that's really what I'm super excited about. And
do you have a laboratory?
No, but we're trying to find like a place to do building stuff. And like this Jerome Morrison, who I'm working with, he can actually design things and build them, which is neat.
You should meet our friend Paul English. He also is interested in the science of electricity.
Really?
Yeah.
Right on.
I have no idea what that is. Sometimes he'll tell me and I'm just like, it's literally like showing a dog a card trick. Like,
What?
And then impedance. And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, Lindsay's been doing that. Lindsay's been making these amps, and he'll be like, I need to work on the tone circuit for this amp. Let me show you the
diagram. Kyle, are you
impressed
with this? We don't know electricity or how things work.
Yeah, let me show you like the circuit diagram, and this is the resistor, and this is the capacitor, and this is, and I just kind of go like, and then my brain just stops, and I can't understand it because I still don't understand. Like my family and I have been watching Cosmos a lot lately, and it's like I still don't get what is light. You know, what is it?
I don't
like,
either.
What is it? It's a wave, and it's a. I don't know what it is.
You know what fucks me up is when they talk about nothing.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Like the?
Can you guys in your mind conceptualize nothing? Because I can't. There's still space in my mind where there's nothing, but at one point there was nothing.
And do you mean pre-Big Bang? Like once there was just something that big, and around it, there was nothing else.
Yeah, nothing.
But
isn't that nothing space to you in your mind?
No, it's like a little dot in the middle of a big thing, right?
But there's no big thing. That's what I'm saying. Is there's nothing.
Thing because I think it's like because if you watch it, it's you know. Have you been watching the new Cosmos?
Yeah, I don't understand half of what's going on.
Neither do I, but I love
it. I like the dog episode.
Oh, where they're like, "This is how dogs became." The dogs that would approach would get.
I've actually watched that like six times. And I cry every time.
Oh, really good. Yeah, I think that's Neil saying like, "Look, y'all, Fox watchers, evolution is real."
We'll get into this in a minute because we do need to bring our next guest up. But they did cut out pieces of that show in different places.
No.
Yes.
Of course they
did. Is that right? Do you guys know about this? Okay, whatever. It's a scandal. It's maybe something I just made up. Maybe I read it on the internet. All right. Elizabeth, thank you. Everyone, scoot down one. We are going to bring up my very first guest ever on this show. Also, my very first guest at a live podcast. And also my dear friend, who just moved back here and did a video with my ex-wife today, Susanna Schaffel.
You did it so gracefully. So
drip, drip, drop, little raindrops fall.
Yeah, you know what? That was Catherine's idea. I wanted you guys to awkwardly have to put them under your chairs and stuff.
That's very smart.
So, Susanna, did you move back here?
I did.
Okay, so when did you move back here?
April 4th.
Okay, so this is what it's like being friends with people that are musicians. I wrote you last week and I said, hey, I'm going to be in New York. And I wanted to know if you could hook me up with maybe some people I don't know for some podcasts while I'm there. And you said, oh, yeah, no problem. Plus, I'm going to be there. We can hang out.
I know. It was
magic.
Which
I just thought was funny because we're here in the same town and we didn't hang out. But
it's
now we're
kind of perfect. I know. I'm excited that you're going to be there.
How are you? You were filming a video for a Pledge music campaign. You're going to start one up?
I'm about to ask everybody for money. So I was using the lovely Tracy Gowdy, the other Gowdy. There's a lot of y'all.
Yeah.
To just make a fun little video. Anyway, it'll launch in a few weeks. So,
and so, do you have the songs? Did you already record it? Where are you at in the process?
I have the songs, although I'm still writing a few. I still have ideas for a couple things, but I don't have producer yet. I'm kind of all over the place producer wise. I'm courting a lot of producers because I want to work with everybody, and I'm like the most indecisive person on the face of the earth. Very typical Pisces. So, but there's also a lot of variables that come into it. You know, like who's available, who doesn't cost $10 million, all that good stuff. So, but I'm trying to figure out who it's going to be.
Well, that's exciting.
It is.
At least you have choices.
Absolutely.
And are you living bi-coastal? Let's pretend this is a coast.
It is. It's the third coast.
Yeah.
It's the best coast. I kind of am, yes. I go up to New York now once a month, but I spend most of my time here. You know, I just go there for a week to check in and play a show and have meetings and do fancy New York things, you know. So.
Explain. Go hang out with
it's
Norah
really
Jones.
It's really not that glamorous, yes.
Who you dump me for as a friend?
I go hang out with Norah Jones. Actually, I'm really excited because my manager surprised me and Monday, I'm going to see Willie Nelson's Letterman taping, which is pretty, I feel like unites both my worlds of New York and Texas, because I'm such a Willie fan. But yeah, typically when I go up there, I have a lot of meetings. Like, it's really boring. It's nothing, you know, it's like I go see my publishing company and have some meetings with them and show them some new songs and meet some people I need to know. And you know, I have a meeting with my manager, and those are actually really fun because she's really creative, and we put our heads together on a ton of ideas. She's the most creative manager I've ever worked with, and she's really awesome. And then I see friends, and I go to shows, and I don't know, I ride the train. So
that's exciting to ride.
Pizza.
Have you read the train? Has anybody here ridden the train in Austin?
I haven't.
Yeah.
Have you?
Is
yeah.
Is it a pretty good train? Okay.
I'm really curious about it. I'm.
It goes to Leander. I don't really.
Yeah, that's the thing is it's not taking me anywhere I need to go.
So Paul, my boyfriend's kids live out in Cedar Park,
okay.
And we want to experiment with putting them on the train now that they're kind of old enough, and having them come downtown if their mom will let them, because it's such a pain in the ass to drive all the way down to Cedar Park to get them. So that would be a really great usage of the train. So.
Yeah.
Putting kids on it to save us gas. I mean, that's what it's there for. It's amazing.
That should be the commercial. Co-parenting is much easier with the train. I no longer have to drive up north to pick up my kids.
It is crazy, though. You go to New York, and one of the most fascinating things in New York when I moved there was seeing young kids on the train everywhere. And I'm like, how crazy would it have been to have grown up in this city and just be riding this train everywhere when you're 10?
Yeah.
These kids are so self-sufficient and independent, and they grow up so fast there. It's crazy. So anyway.
Amy Levere told me this story the other day about taking a train when she was 11 years old from Detroit to Chicago.
Whoa.
Just with her friend, they were going to just move there. Two little girls move there.
Oh, my God.
And she told me these amazing stories about pimps trying to get her to, if she wanted to make money.
Oh, my God.
And so they were there for maybe 12 hours or something when the cops came walking up and they were what's your name? She's like, Amy Levere, like, take me home. Send me back to Detroit because it's scary out there. It would be scary being on the train with the kids.
Yeah. But not here. But not here. I can't imagine. I don't know. Maybe it is creepy. I've got to ride it to find out.
Did you say you rode the train or you just know where it goes?
No, I've ridden the train.
And who's
is it clean? Is it clean or is it?
It's very clean.
Okay.
It's nothing compared to Dallas.
Are there performers? Are there performers?
This is in New York. Although you know, doing acrobatics with the live music capital of the world during South by Southwest, there's got to be like a guy on every train showcasing.
You know, I might have to start. Of course. Okay. Festive time. That's cool. Maybe I'll start some train performances here. Maybe that'll be like a new thing that I'll try to like bring into Austin.
They do it at the airport.
Exactly.
I don't see why you don't get on on a train and
totally.
You know,
we'll get Nancy Coplin on it.
Yeah, exactly. A new.
She's into that performances in different spaces. So.
Do you have any big shows coming up this summer? Are you doing like a Blues on the Green or a Susanna Schaffel at?
I'm not. I'm kind of laying low from like big show. I think I'm doing Bat Fest and I'm doing Viva Big Bend, which is out in West Texas, which will be really fun. That's in July, and then I'm doing. I took an interesting gig this summer. I'm touring as a backup singer and keyboardist for the band Spanish Gold. So
wow, that's cool.
My friends just played with them. My friends Wild Adriatic just played with them last night in New York.
Yeah, they're on Letterman tonight.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, it's Adrian Quesada's group. Yeah, yeah. They're awesome. They're so badass. And Adrian called me like a month ago and said, hey, I know this is really weird, but you know, like I know that you like you're Susanna Schaffel and you're not really like a backup singer, but we really need a backup singer who can play keys. For half of our tour, and I was like, are you kidding me? Because I just heard their single on KUT, and I loved it. And I just love everything Adrian's got his hands in. It's always really cool. Yeah. And so I said, let me check. And it kind of was perfect timing because, like, I'm launching this Pledge Music campaign. I'm kind of, like, trying to just focus on the album and raise funds and not play a ton of live shows because I'm in that awkward phase where it's like, I'm not going to play a show with like all my new material because I haven't recorded it yet and I don't want to like put it all out there. And so like playing shows right now, even though I love it, it's part of what I do. I love being a live musician. It sometimes feels a little bit like I just keep playing these same songs and I'm a little bit bored with it. And so it's kind of perfect timing to get like an interesting little gig like this and it'll be fun. I'm doing their Texas dates and their West Texas dates. So of course I didn't get to play the Letterman show, but that's okay. I'm not mad about that. So
you're not?
No, I'm excited. So I'd be really nervous, so I think I'd, yeah.
I've never seen you mad.
I don't.
Or do you get?
I get mad.
What goes on there?
This is becoming a therapy session.
No, this is what I'm fascinated with. I want to, yeah.
What gets me mad?
Or no, what happens when you get mad? Oh. I don't care what gets you mad.
Oh, like what, like physically what happens or what do I do?
Yeah. Like do you cuss, do you get louder, do you stomp?
I cuss and I stomp my feet, I think. Yeah. Maybe I throw something. I don't know.
I've never seen you nervous either. You're so composed.
Yeah.
Letterman would be nothing. You're on The Voice for like a whole season.
Well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that, I guess. It's just, I don't know. But who knows? You know what? You don't know until you get there, I guess. I would think that I would be nervous, but maybe you're right. Maybe I would totally not be nervous. You know what's funny is I actually get the most nervous, like, either in tiny little groups or talking like this. I'm actually I'm nervous right now because I'm not performing. I'm not like playing my guitar. This is so natural. Like today when I was doing my Pledge Music campaign, oh my gosh, I was constantly like, oh, I'm so sorry, Tracy. Oh, I'm sorry, hold on. Because it was like just her filming me and I was like, hey everyone, so this is Susanna. Oh, hold on, I got to do that again. And I was just like shaking and it was just the most bizarre thing. But if I would have just been performing, it would have been no big deal. So anyway, blah, blah, blah.
I just passed on a great joke.
Oh.
At Tracy's expense. I can't do that.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah. No, don't.
It was great. Okay. I looked at Kyle, though, because I know he heard it in my mind. Let's talk about this. When you do your demos and stuff, do you you record them yourself on... We've done Songwriting Game, and so I've heard your demos. They're good.
Thank you.
What are you doing now with them? What do you got going on? Do you just record, like, in a room? Do you have a setup? Do you have a place?
Well, now that I'm back in Austin, yeah. I'm really excited because my main reason for coming back was that I really was just like going crazy not having space. And yeah. we were living in this tiny, tiny apartment in Chelsea, and it was amazing. Like, New York is kind of your living room when you're there. But then you start tripping over your guitars and you don't have any place to record, and it kind of sucks. So now that I'm back here, I'm very lucky. I have this little extra room that I use as my music studio. And yeah, I just use GarageBand. I just got Ableton, so I'm really excited. And
you can control it with your movement.
No, I saw that. I actually saw the Imogen Heap. She's got the glove going on.
Yeah, yeah, the very glove cool. Is
I actually have a very like a secret dream to be like an electronic musician, and so I like kind of do a lot of that at home, but I haven't really put it out there a little bit.
You think you're gonna do that with this new album?
I think I'm gonna start interweaving that in.
There's
absolutely.
A real organic vibe to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That takes real people to do it, and I'd be interested to hear your electronic.
I think there's a really cool way to marry the two, and I don't know. I was really influenced by hip hop growing up, and that was like a lot of what I listened to, and so I feel like I have to like honor that at some point on an album. Not that I'm gonna rap or anything, but like just that the hip hop element of like awesome like beats and samples and that electronic element. And I don't know, I have a lot of different personalities up here. I was actually listening to Elizabeth talk about all of her groups, and I was like, that's what I want to do. So anyway,
you should totally write some songs.
We'll get
the NPC out.
You guys could start a whole band together.
I even have our name already.
Ooh.
What is it?
Suze EQ, or I guess it'd have to be like EMQ. My DJ name has always been Suze EQ. Like, and I say my DJ name, I'm not a DJ, it's like always in my head, but I was just thinking, because you were like EMQ, right?
EMQ,
so
yeah.
We'll be like SuzMQ.
SuzMQ, ooh, I like it, yeah,
I don't
totally.
Know, something like that, I don't know.
Speaking of electronica and exciting music, it's June 3rd, and Elizabeth, you and I have had a lot of talks about summer jams,
yeah.
And I've got nothing.
Fancy, have you not heard Fancy?
What's that?
I'm so fancy.
Is that Iggy Azalea?
You already know that Iggy Azalea with Charlie XCX.
That's
going
to be my summer jam? I don't think so.
I don't like it very much, though.
I think you should. Spanish Gold has some pretty badass summer jam songs. Check out their album.
But I feel, Trish, do you have a summer jam going on? Is there something new that's touching you in this way that you want to hear by a pool?
I do. There's that new guy from Austin who just got signed by Atlantic Records, Matt.
Max Frost.
Max Frost, yeah. Yeah. And he has that song about his girls cheating on him.
White Lies.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
That's a good one.
I've got to go back and revisit that.
It kind of sounds like the Pharrell Williams Happy Song, mm-hmm. only in a minor key and like, you know,
that's helpful.
More interesting.
Yeah.
Aaron Ivey shared a song with me called Stupid Money, and I forget who it's by, but it was mm-hmm. pretty good. It was stupid like money. Called about if I had stupid money, you know. You can Google it. I can't see you there.
I was waiting for you to keep on going. Jazz, summer jam?
I am currently just like in a Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Like frame of mind.
Dolly Parton, Jolene Dolly Parton or 9 to 5 Dolly Parton?
Jolly Parton. Jolly Parton.
Jolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, like Mule Skinner Blues. Dolly Parton. I was stuck in traffic in LA, and for some reason I think it's really funny when I'm in LA to blast, like I either pick something like Dolly Parton or Shania Twain, mm-hmm. or like Jody Messina, like yeah. someone like really 90s outside
country
Dolly
gold.
Parton, it's always like 90s country girl that like blew my mind when I was 10, and it's just, and that's how I get through traffic, is like, cool, I'm gonna be here forever, so I'm gonna listen to all Shania Twain's greatest hits in the car, and I'm gonna have the best time. And Dolly Parton is who I'm doing that with this summer.
Awesome.
Especially because in LA, you can tell everybody that's in traffic with me that like 80% of them are like, they hate me. They really, they're just like they don't understand at all why I'm listening to that. And then there's like one person that can hear me playing, you know, Shania Twain, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
So you're clearing the streets of LA. You've been there a lot.
Yeah. My management and my producer's there. And
okay.
then Ava's grandparents live there.
Okay.
So it's a win-win because I can go out there and they get to have their grandma, grandpa time with Ava and I can work.
Yeah. Nice. You also got to go. You went to a very coveted party this last year. The that graveyard party for Breaking Bad, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
How
was
that?
What's funny is that I actually felt like such an asshole being
there. I always feel like an asshole in those situations.
But I really was, because I had only seen Breaking Bad up until season 4, the day of that finale show at the Hollywood Cemetery. I was missing all of the shit everybody was talking about. Everybody was so excited about this thing, and I didn't know what was happening yet. So I spent all morning watching episodes of Breaking Bad so that I would know what was going on when I got there, because this finale show was held in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, and it was sold out in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And my bandmate was on the show, and he couldn't go, so he gave me his like pass to go.
Oh, he couldn't go?
He couldn't go. Yeah. So he was like, "Here, you can just go on my place." And I was like, "Cool." But there were literally lines and lines of people that were like almost in tears about, you know, getting to be there for that show. And I went in early and sat down with my blanket and was just finishing watching episodes like in the field before it started. I got there like 4 hours early and was like, I can't let anybody see me doing this.
Right.
They'll be like, "Fuck you. You're not like, you don't deserve to be here," basically.
Right, right.
You know,
that's so how just, like, a mob takes like, Jazz out of there.
That's how I felt when I saw the Pope at St. Peter's. I was there in college, and somehow I managed. They file you in for a papal visit, and I ended up like right on the aisle seat where he was going to be coming down. And I was thinking, there's a lot of people crying, you know, because they're real Catholics.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just a fake Catholic. I don't even belong here. I don't even know what I'm doing. This Catholic.
I just want to see the Pope for the celebrity factor.
What am I doing here? You take my seat. You touch the Pope.
Yeah, I felt how I felt. I felt like I do not want to get caught watching. I do not want to get caught catching up on Breaking Bad episodes at this event, because all of the people there will just be like, "You are a fake."
And right.
You know, so I was like, But
there's nothing worse than being called out as a fake at a Hollywood party.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably the worst thing that can happen to you. The
irony. Now I'm surrounded by all of Jesse's crew. And, you know, I didn't want to be the person that, like, honestly did not know what was going on.
Right, right.
You know, so...
Yeah.
Whenever I went, nobody figured me out. I did it.
You just like switched your like iPad to like Sesame Street or something every time.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
Do you guys have shows? A lot of people binge watch shows and get into shows. In fact, I oftentimes will count.
Sorry, I thought you meant if we have shows coming up. I was like, sorry, that was weird.
Did I? Yeah.
You're like, do you guys have shows?
Yeah.
Hey, look, hey, man.
Coming up.
I have a weird way of expressing myself verbally. It doesn't always come out like
great.
The question.
It was cute. It was really cute. I just got into Game of Thrones finally.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's too brutal. I've been watching
it's pretty brutal.
Once Upon a Time.
What's that?
it's about storybook characters, but it was really bad.
Is that like some ABC show?
Yeah.
What a weird thing to be into.
Well, one of the.
Well, I mean, you have daughters, so maybe you guys get into it.
I don't know. You know, you fall down these holes. Yeah. It's like you fall down. But one of the writers / executive producers, or whatever, worked on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is the best TV that ever there was.
All my Buffy friends watch that friend.
Oh, really?
I have Buffy the Vampire Slayer friends who now are into
Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Because Jane Espenson writes for it, so it's got to be good. Yeah.
I don't really rock fantasy.
We've had this talk. You don't do science fiction or fantasy. We couldn't watch TV together. What do you watch? America's Got Talent or something?
No.
Speaking of which, I wanted to tell you that I finally watched that movie you gave me for my birthday last year. It was called like American Dreams, and it's about the show anyway.
American Dreams,
awful
Dreams with the
and
Z.
Awesome. So, yeah.
Dreams it was about a singing competition, and she was on The Voice, so I gave her the.
He gave me this.
Gave her the movie.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway. That's random. So.
Oh, because you know what? You were on my show. You came on my show the day of your birthday, just like Jazz's birthday today.
Yeah, that's what it was reminding me of. Yeah. I was watching Jazz open her presents, I was like, I feel like I've had this moment with Johnny before, and it's because I was on your show the day of my birthday.
And it was your birthday.
It was
I had another birthday.
Birthday
person on the other day, Eleanor from the Mastersons. It was her birthday.
Awesome. I love Eleanor. You gave me a Backstreet Boys like singing card, I think.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That was a tough one to come by.
I
liked Jazz. I'm sorry I made you feel old with that card because you're not
you
as old,
old
as like
I really,
Earth,
I feel
Wind, and
like
Fiber.
She's not old. I've ever felt in my life.
Good.
Yeah.
Because you are young.
I feel young.
It feels weird because we're talking without seeing each other. Now I can see. I'm like reaching out to everyone. Can I ask you guys a question about women?
Yes.
That's different
sure.
than men. This is where it's going to start getting weird.
It's going to get real.
This
Here
is
go.
This is where we go in for the third. This is going to go until the third or fourth hour, I believe. Thank you for laughing because that was a joke. We're not going 4 hours. Can I ask you a question? I've noticed something lately, and I've observed women reaching out to other women. None of you have this characteristic, or I wouldn't ask you this question. So let me just straighten that out. But they want to be friends, but they don't really want to be friends. They want to be friends with someone they don't like.
Yeah, are you talking about frenemies?
Frenemies is the word I have written down. I just didn't want to
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. And you win a new car. Do you know what I'm saying?
Dude, are you saying that guys don't have frenemies?
Guys might have frenemies, but it's not as active a pursuit to be friends. You don't think that there's a difference?
Oh, I don't know. I've never been on the other side. But I definitely do think there's like the allure of the bitchy friend, you know, sometimes where you're like,
is that right?
Are you asking if girls purposefully try and become friends with
exactly
bitchy
what I'm
girls?
Saying. No,
or
with
they
girls
just
that
pretend
they
want to be
like,
friends.
But they I think because they kind of want to be watch out, watch over them.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't do any of this. So.
No, I this think that's like, totally true. I think that totally happens. I don't think that all girls do that, but like that actually has happened to me so many times that
people want to be friends with you because
they don't really want to be friends with me. But I'm a catalyst to like their gain, which like
right.
Being in touring with bands with all guys and being the only girl.
Yeah.
Any girl who's obsessed with any dude mm-hmm. that I'm in a band with immediately becomes my best friend.
Trish, does that happen to you too?
Because they're like, oh, I'll be her best friend.
Right.
And then she'll kind of get me over here. To
yeah.
Okay, so like users.
And
like,
then everyone just thinks Dorian has a prettiest
But to me,
eyes.
It's like, whatever. You know, I see it coming.
Right.
Like, as soon as they come up to me, I'm like, hi, this is Peter. You know, like, because.
You get the job done right away.
Well, because I get it. I understand that. You know, like, I think that, and I think other girls do it, out of insecurity because, yes, they want to keep tabs on someone that may be talking shit about them or they want to be kept in the loop.
Right.
You know, whatever. But, like, I think part of why that becomes dramatic is when girls that it's happening to make it a big deal. Like, if somebody comes to me and I can tell that they have kind of an alternative, like,
ulterior motive.
Yeah. Like, I just kind of just accept that as the reality from the beginning instead of fooling myself into thinking, like, oh, we're best friends. Oh, we're not?
You don't take it personally.
You know, it's just okay, cool. What? How can I move this along?
Yeah. Trish, what about you? Do you feel
that
like did, that?
You know what? That doesn't really happen to me, but it happened a lot in, like, seventh grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there were girls whose agenda was to recruit you so that they could then sort of have the use of you. And they
like Mean Girls, like that movie Mean Girls.
Yeah, there was a girl in seventh grade who she was the queen bee, and so she and I didn't get along at all though because I had these parents that were constantly kind of coaching me on stuff.
Yeah,
and they really ruined it for me because I just couldn't get ever caught up in any drama because I already had sort of a sense that I was removed from it. So. Maybe I was spared a lot of crap, but no, I saw that a lot in the record business. Can I say that on your show?
Totally.
A lot of I want to be your friend, or a lot of people who would, when they saw you perhaps maybe kind of sort of succeeding, they would come rushing up to you and say, hey, I never really said no. You know, I really wasn't your... It's really strange. It's an incredible scramble in the music industry to never seem as though you are not in somebody's corner if you feel like you can leverage it in any way.
Well, they do that thing. It's almost like in politics where they get themselves close enough to you that if it sticks, they're close enough to you, but they keep their distance enough so if you start to turn into shit, they can jump away and be like, oh, yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah. I can't even imagine being a politician. I had an interesting talk once with Mark Strama, who was a state representative for a while.
Yes.
I've known him. He and I have known each other since we were like 20. And he we had this big laugh one time because he was we were laughing about the similarities between being a politician and a rock sort of star or rock person.
Right.
But there was a lot of the same dynamics and a lot of the same hilarious sort of something that looks glamorous from the outside but is actually just like glorified camping if you're really seeing what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting, funny talk.
I think that that's actually a really like good way or something that's good to keep in mind, you know, like that if you music, I think a lot of my friends they talk about how they want everybody obviously to hear their music, they want to put it out there, they want to be successful, but they don't respect that, like, okay, well, if you want everybody to hear it, then you have to go to the people. That's just the same way anybody would have to campaign to them, you know, like if like musicians that I'm working with some bands and trying to help them with like marketing and creative ways to kind of approach what they're doing, and like I do think that, and I don't mean this in like a downer way, but it's actually something that I think is now really useful in pursuing your music career. You know, it's something you're doing for a long time that, like, a lot of people, I think, are like, I'm going to work really hard, I'm going to come out with this album, I'm going to tour, and then I'm going to get on this boutique label, and I'm going to, like, they're going to fund my tour, and it's like, yeah, and then a year later, you're going to have to hustle again. You're going to have to do that again. You're going to have to keep going, you know, like, because there is a very small percentage of us that are going to get the break that then we just coast the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like any other business that opens. Like, if I was going to open an enchilada store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Do
like
it.
Because I was like, wow, I make really great enchiladas, and I'm really good at it, and people know, my family knows, my friends know.
Yeah.
They know that I'm really good. But, like, just like any other thing, it's not just, of course, it's relevant that I make good enchiladas. It's relevant
right.
that you're talented,
right.
that you're putting
right.
out a good product.
Right.
But I have to raise funds. I have to get rent. I have to get the right insurance. I have to get the right permits. I have to hire the right staff. I have to be in business for a very long time until I can live off my enchilada business.
So you're making a
profit. You know?
Right.
It's
yeah.
a long, long thing that you do, just like anybody else is pursuing it. You know, and I think that it's pursuing any business in their life. And sometimes musicians can, because we're really passionate and emotional and romantic, feel like we've been working at it like long enough. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. look, I paid my dues, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, no other career can do that. No
yeah.
lawyer can just say like, look, I've been a lawyer for 5 years, okay?
Yeah.
yeah.
So like, give me my paycheck.
Yeah,
it's like, you just have to continue to be a lawyer, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just same way
Show
with
up.
Musicians.
Yeah.
And like, so there is, so I don't like politics at all, but in some sense of the word, it's like you do have to be strategic about the way you're doing this, because this is going to be a long process for you, you know? And that's actually really helped me, and also taken off, for me personally at least, taken off some of the pressure of having such an immediate agenda all the time, you know, about like, let's make sure we release something new by South By. It needs to come out before South By. You need to give it out to everybody by South By, because then in June you're going to do a tour, and then you're going to blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, maybe I won't make it out by South By, but it'll come out the next year, and it'll just at least be good.
Yeah.
You know, I want my product to be good. I don't want to necessarily always have to be meeting a deadline.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, we're all independent musicians as well. Trish and I play in a band that doesn't have to deal with album cycles in any way, which is pretty relaxing. It's
it
nice
is.
To not have that pressure, because
yeah.
we
yeah.
kind of, it's a, there's a weird thing that I think, especially you and I, because maybe like you and me and Darren really lived off of our own playing things before, and when that was going south, there was something really amazing about going and playing a show and getting paid for it. Like, it
yeah.
was really, there was something like I think the first time that we all played a show together, that Wendy's party, I guess Kyle left, but we played this Wendy's party, and it was the first show that we played, but I remember afterwards, we were like, hey, maybe we should do this again.
Yeah. Was it like a party for Wendy's,
yeah,
food,
Wendy's.
Chain?
Wendy's
yeah.
food chain? Yeah,
now
it wasn't some girl named
Wendy's.
Wendy.
Yeah. there
I was like, who is Wendy? Is Wendy Kyle's yeah. girlfriend? Who is Wendy?
Oh. It's their employee Christmas party.
Yeah.
We played
oh, cool,
it.
Man.
It was
yeah,
crazy.
That was our first real thing.
And it has its own grind. It too has to
sure.
be sustained. It too has to be, there's a certain shelf life to it. And if you're not on it and you're not really tending it all the time, it's the same procedure just a different kind of pressure.
Right.
It's just a different beast, but it's still very demanding. Mm-hmm.
And we play really long shows.
How long?
Yeah, y'all are athletic.
Like 2.5 to 3.5 hour shows.
Yeah, and with a break in there, or like
sometimes there's a break. Yeah, there's
breaks. Multiple singers, sometimes, which is really cool.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
that
does.
Like,
help.
I sometimes would love to have like
a
band where it's just like a lot of different singers, because then it's also kind of fun for the audience because they get to experience a lot of different styles and tones.
To me, that would keep me interested in a show that long. It's not just one person doing a thing. Yeah. So it's literally six of us that sing.
Yeah.
So it really like moves along. Yeah. And people don't really sing more than 2 or 3 songs at a time.
So your voice doesn't get like worn out during the show. It's great.
They still do. I mean, we do a lot of backup singing still through the whole
thing. That's true. Yeah. And y'all do hard songs. You do like Michael Jackson. And
you know what? We've had a Michael Jackson like in the incubation area for a little while. A hard Michael Jackson song.
Which
very
one?
Hard. Rock With You.
Oh, I just love it. When Trish sings I Want You Back.
It's exciting.
So exciting. And when you do Hot Child in the City.
Hot Child in the City.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get tired. I don't get tired of that song.
It's so good.
I haven't gotten tired of that song since I was, I think, 7. No, I was 10 when that song came out. 10.
Such a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything that I'm missing before we go? There's a little celebration I want to have before we go where we'll all sing happy birthday to Jazz Mills.
Yay.
And bring out a cake. Which will be very exciting.
Okay.
But is there anything that I'm missing before we move?
When is this going to air?
Friday.
Friday. Okay, can I plug a show?
Plug a show.
Okay.
That's what I want. I want some plugging.
Friday night, this Friday, June 6th, I'm playing at the ABGB. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm at Strange Brew. I don't know if that's political. Sorry. I'm playing at the ABGB. On Friday, but I love Strange Brew too, and I'll play here again.
On the podcast, it's okay. On the stage, it's not. So
I just realized that. I'm like,
I think you just evened out.
Okay, great.
Yeah. You did not promote your show or demote yourself.
Beautiful. So,
yeah, there we go.
That's true. Oh, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott.
I'd like to thank Scott for having
us
too.
That's why Strange Brew is awesome.
Yeah.
Can I plug a show?
Please.
Okay, I'll be playing
plugging shows.
Bubble Palooza at the Long Sitter on the 12th.
What is that?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a kids event from like 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and there's going to be bubbles. And I'd play some kids shows sometimes with the electronic band. We're actually playing Austin City Limits because I think that'll be really fun. So we're playing Bubble Palooza at noon. And so bring your kids. It'll be awesome. And I think I'm going to try to do Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a cover.
So funny.
So,
that's
yeah.
So funny.
Love it.
Yeah. That's good.
And then we'll be at the next weekend we'll be at Central Market with the Elizabeth McQueen Jazz Trio.
Excellent. So those things are going on. Jazz Mills.
I have no shows.
That's great. What about your artists? What about Mango?
Oh, wait.
Yeah. Come on. You got to be a better manager.
I totally lied.
Manager.
On June 15th, we're having a birthday party for me.
Oh, good.
At Cheer Up Charlie's. And Leopold and His Fiction is playing, Mangum Parker, Otis the Destroyer, and Corey Baum. And we're going to I'm putting together this pretty amazing swag bag. It's Gemini themed, which you can interpret however you want. You can be whatever Gemini is to you. That's the theme. And whoever like is best dressed is getting a pretty amazing swag bag. And
you give swag bags. You gave a swag bag at a show I went to of yours.
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah, I think it's important.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
I think a swag bag is important.
I do. Well, I
do
mean,
too. But I just don't think about it for sure. I should have made one for you guys.
Well, I just think that like I get it that people want things. They want stuff, you know, and that there's a lot of other stuff going on, and I want everybody to come hang out at my party, and I want to see everybody, and I want to hug everybody, and I want everybody to see the music and have a cupcake. But I know that realistically, there's a lot of things going on in Austin that they can go to. So I come up with things to basically bribe them. You know, it's like, but I'm going to have this. I'm going to have tacos.
Yeah.
So you should come to this one.
Yeah. Well, people should go. I'd like to go. Is that a Sunday?
It's a Sunday. And
yeah.
The music is
I will go.
So
yeah,
good.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Elizabeth, I just remembered that I saw you do a soundtrack series. I did. With our friend Dana Rossi.
Oh, yeah, and I'm actually doing another storytelling thing.
Another one?
Next Tuesday.
Oh, for a different one?
For a different thing. At Home Slice Pizza, there's a, it's called the Story Department.
Okay.
And it benefits the Austin Bat Cave, which gives writing programs for kids.
Yes.
So this, it's, the theme is stage fright. So I'm going to tell a story about stage fright.
That's good.
Even though I don't really have stage fright.
Yeah, you do.
A little bit.
Trish, we have a show Saturday in New York.
We do. It's at Hill Country Barbecue.
Saturday.
It's on Saturday night.
June 7th.
On East 26th Street.
Yeah. If you're in New York City, come on out to that. If not, you can find us at skyrocketheband.com and look up our tour dates. And you will know where we're playing. Is there anything else that I'm missing? Are you want to come on Saturday?
Oh, to our show? Me?
Or do you have something else you got to do?
I'm flying up on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing in San Antonio on Saturday.
Okay.
But I'll hang out with you. We'll go party in New York. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And everybody go to Hill Country because it's delicious.
Oh, it is delicious and it's a good time. Is there anything, anyone want to say anything before you go? I'd like to thank all of you for coming. I'd like to thank all of you guys for coming out. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Give yourselves
for coming.
A hand.
Thanks, Johnny.
Is there anything I'm missing?
You're the best. Thanks for having
me. I didn't really think that you liked watching America's Got Talent, although I do like watching America's Got Talent. That's all I wanted to say.
I lost one of my big...
I've been sitting here going, like, I need to make it up to Johnny.
I'm not mad at you.
I think he thinks that I think he watches America's Got Talent.
My jam is more, I like a Mad Men.
Oh, right.
Like real people with real problems.
Real serious stuff.
Dude, you like to drink a lot? You should watch Anthony Bourdain... Parts Unknown.
I watch Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown all the time. Awesome. He is my hero.
Does it make anybody else feel like really inspired and stupid?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Like I'm always like, I gotta do something about that. I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff going
He's
on.
An adventure.
I honestly feel kind of like I really do feel kind of dumb.
Is it an eating show or is
No, it's like everything. I'm so grateful for it. Like, every single time I watch it, I'm just like, oh, I'm so happy that you went there and that you're showing me this and that I get to experience. Because he's going to a lot of places and reporting on a lot of stuff that, like, I don't think I'll actually ever be able to go. I want to travel a lot, but I don't know if I'll go to, I don't know if I'll ever go to Libya.
Yeah.
It's like but I'm really glad that he, that I got to see.
The whole world
Food. And he's a poetic, he's a poetic guy.
He is all right. Poetic, yeah.
Guys, we're all going to join and sing Happy Birthday to Jazz Mills before fire starts. Thank you, Catherine. All right, you ready?
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jazz. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Catherine. I also want to remind you guys that we will
be
back. We will be back here doing How Did I Get Here on Tuesday, June 17th. My guests will be Charlie Hodge, Graham Wilkinson, and the great band Sphinx.
Yes,
One of my favorite bands. And thank you guys so much for coming out. Jake, you want to hit the music? Thank you guys for being my guests. I love you all.
Thank you. Love you, Johnny.